Blog Talk Radio.
Man, we had Charlie, Trippy, and Gino Marquette. If you're searching for a champion, they're your best bet. Which I could quarterback, like Johnny Lou Jack, or even Sid Luffin, as a matter of fact. Do you remember Red Brains, the Galloping Ghost? He could do a 95 running coast to coast. You had Norm Van Brocklin, a real great player, so swift with his moves that he could be mayor. Y.A. Tittle, Allie Madison, hey, I remember all those guys from back in the day.
It's the sort of king, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows, weekend warriors toe to toe. Football, 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 football.
Yes, sir. We're coming at you again with another episode of CNT Firestorm. We got a lot to go over today. We had a big week beginning college football season that started. We had some big games, big ups, big downs. We're going to talk about it all. We're going to preview the next week in NFL, and we're going to give out our preseason awards. Today we got our regular panel. I'm Cali Mike, coming out from the Midwest. We got Big Chi-Town. What's going on, Mike?
What's going on, everybody? And never had a friend like me. I'm down with these guys to the, you know, to the death. Friends like me, our friends, we've been, baby. College football season, it's the death in the car, and the NFL season is tomorrow. Let's get it.
And as usual, we got the pride of DeSoto, Texas. What's going on, Jamal?
What's going on, man? I'm keeping short and simple. Let's just...
All right, sounds good, sounds good. We're going to get things started off here. Let's see, first thing we're going to look at is we're going to talk about a couple of the games from the past week. We had had a couple of pretty good top 25 matchups. First, let's start it off with talking about LSU versus TCU. LSU came in as the favorite to win, but TCU actually put up a surprising battle. I mean, I you know, like I said, I personally I didn't think LSU was going to be that strong this year. They lost a lot on the defensive end, and you know, usually the powerhouse teams do reload. But like I said, you know, it's different between reloading with talent, reloaded with talented veterans. Zach Metterberger came out and played all right. But like I said, I think the bigger point was TCU's game. TCU, you know, could have very easily won this game. I think if they had a more talented roster or maybe even a deeper kind of roster, they probably, you know, like I said, I think if all things were equal, I think they would have won the game. What are you guys come away with any observations from that game, Tech?
From the jump, I was always saying that TCU is a better team than what people think. The same goes for LSU. TCU got a bunch of guys that's gonna be playing in the NFL, especially on defense. That just about that whole defense is gonna play on Sundays. They, you know, if they can figure out the quarterback position, I think they'll contend for a BCS bowl, not the title game, but the BCS bowl. But they have talented skill positions. The O line is not bad, but defense is where they'll make their bones. Like I said, there's plenty of guys from that'll be going to the NFL from that team. As far as LSU is concerned, I like somewhat what I saw from their offense. Their defense, it'll still be good, and LSU is young. They'll be good, but the difference with LSU this year is they won't have a unit full of playmakers, as to where you had two defensive linemen that could make plays, and you had three linebackers themselves that could make plays, and you had your Patrick Peterson, your Tyron Matthew, your Morris Claiborne all together back there in the backfield. They don't have those type of players defensively. They do have very good defensive players, but game breakers this year, and that could hurt. That probably hurts them. Obviously not a lot, but it probably hurts them given their schedule. But both of these teams are solid. Both of these teams are better than anybody will ever give them credit for over the course of this season.
What do you think? Well, first, let me ask a question about TC. You said something about their quarterback situation. Do you not think? Pacal, is that how you say his name? KT Pacal? You not think he, you don't think he's the guy that's going to take them to the next level?
Well, they moved the ball when the second quarterback came into the game. So I think that's who they'll be going with. They couldn't move at first, but then when they made that's when the skill position started getting a little bit going. You see what I'm saying? I do think they go in that direction. They went into the second half for the rest of the year. If they want to get that offense moving, they can. I mean, they can't. And you know, if you're TCU and you're playing LSU, you couldn't hit singles. You couldn't bunt single. You couldn't bloop double. I mean, you had to be hitting home runs. And that's not what they did in the first half. In the second half, they got it together. They hit a couple of home runs with the quarterback. So, to not waste a defensive effort, I think they do go in that direction. I think they kind of have to go in that direction.
Okay. Mike, did you come up with any observations from these two games?
We all know TCU, they've been on the radar, and they've been, balling, so I see they made the game out of it. LSU, we all know they have been having a stout defense. Only thing in question about always been LSU has been, of course, been the quarterback play. That's the only question. So really, until they have the game against Bama or, when they play some of the big teams in the SEC and stuff, that's when, questioning them how their offense gonna play,
mm-hmm.
So that's the only thing I have with them. It's the same old team, they always have a good defense, but it's always been questionable on the quarterback play.
Did you notice the differences with LSU's offense this year as opposed to last year, when they had that big four-headed running back machine going on? I mean, it seemed like they were just a totally different beast this year. Even though none of those guys were great, it's a lot easier, to play when you got four running backs, who could probably play anywhere in the country. Did you pick that up? Either one of you guys?
It's not just for this year, but that's kind of how LSU is. That's how we'll talk about them later, but that's how Georgia is this year. But that's LSU's deal right there, is to carry three or four running backs, and even next year they have more running backs coming in. So that's their motives right there, to carry a stable all the time. Does a back rise from the pack? They normally just go with the hot hand, but you know, you have the O line, you have the size, you have the speed up there, and you know, you just pound that team. You just pound them, pound them, pound them, pound them. You just keep pounding and play defense, and that's a formula in college football for winning. It's worked out fine for LSU.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird you said that about them not having, you know, keeping a kind of stable running back. If you look at LSU backs, really since Billy Cannon in the 60s, they really haven't had a really stud running back. It seems like they kind of missed out on, well, they had Kevin Falk, but well, they missed out on Marshall Falk. And missed out on Ward Dunn, you know, or two in-state guys who, you know, went to other schools. There's currently right now a kid out there. I don't know his name. I think his name is Sonny Mitchell, maybe. And Sonny McDowell. And that dude, he's like the number one recruit right now. Some battle between him and Alabama and LSU. And that dude, he looks like the truth. Already kicked 220 and with speed. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, maybe they could get him in there and see what they can do. I remember a couple of years ago they had when they made their first championship run.
You know, end up being an okay running back, and then you have Stephen Ridley right now, you know, coming off a 1,300-yard touchdown season. So they have backs. It's just they don't have, you know, they're not Karen, they're Adrian James, or somebody like Reggie Bush, or you know, backs like that.
Well, they had one guy a couple of years when they had their first championship run, Justin Vincent, and he was kind of a home run hitter for them, but it seems like he kind of flamed out. But anyway, let's move on to our second big game. We had Georgia Clemson. Top five matchup. Well, no, I think they were 5-6 when they played, or 5-7. Clemson came away with the win. Josh Boyd, he was Superman and played a very good game. Georgia, they Georgia, in my opinion, they Georgia'd it up. You know, that's what Georgia does. We're going to talk about a little bit about their status later. What did you come away from that game with, Tech?
I mean, as far as that game is concerned, I felt that it was going to be a close game. I took Georgia because I felt like they had enough offensively all the way around to get it done, and I figured they still had, while they got hit by the NFL on defense, I thought they had enough to maybe get a couple of stops, which they did, by the way. But, you know, they couldn't come up with anything on the offensive end. It's unfortunate. I mean, this is what I like to see. It's unfortunate that Georgia and Clemson had to play each other. But, you know, it's good you lose early instead of late. This game was good for Clemson. This game was good for Georgia. And Georgia had their opportunities to win. I thought Murray was fine except for the one interception. Gurley, Marshall, and Hicks, they ran well. Losing the wide receiver hurts. But, you know, Georgia has a plethora of targets. They have a plethora of guys to throw through, and that includes the running backs also. I think Clemson, is, you know, behind Taj Boyd, it looks like they're going to be a force. It looks like the only thing that probably stand in front of them is the possibly South Carolina or Florida State, maybe. But, you know, Boyd plays like that, man. Clemson's going to be tough. But,
let me ask
you
a question. You just brought it up. If they beat Florida State and South Carolina, is there a way they can't go to the national championship? I mean, that'll be pretty much, you know, that'll be pretty much, you know, three top ten, well, probably end up being top five wins.
If they finish undefeated, they're in the BCS title game.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's no question about it.
Okay. Mike, what'd you come up with in that game? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tex.
Go ahead, Mike. Well, I got a chance to hear some on the radio and see some highlights of it, but I guess it was a game, but I guess expectations to me, you know, putting down Georgia because, you know, they came so close. I mean, you never know. They could have been in the national championship last year, you know, and so, of course, a lot of expectations for that team. And I guess Tex got a point, though. I guess when you lose, I guess it's good to lose early than lose late. So we'll see what happens down the stretch. But, you know, they got a big win against South Carolina, I know that. So if they definitely going to feel pressure.
You know what, I come away impressed with TCU. I come away still impressed with Georgia. You know what, besides the big plays, I mean, from a depleted defense, really, what did they give up? Besides the big plays, the Sammy Watkins and the big play, the Brooks. I mean, you know, it's Clemson didn't, for the most part, they didn't just beat Georgia down. I mean, the running back had 100 yards, but, well, without that long run, he's averaging 4 yards a carry, which, you know, I consider, considering Taj Boyd on the other side of the ball and how you have to be accountable for their run game for that, you know, I didn't think that was so bad. I mean, Boyd averaged probably, I don't even think he averaged 4 yards a carry. You know, he probably had a long of about 9 or 10 yards. And without that, he's probably averaging 2 yards. McDowell's probably averaging 4 yards carry, maybe. Maybe 5, I don't know. But, you know, Georgia with the depleted defense actually held up okay, besides the big plays. So, you know, I think Georgia's all right. They have a difficult schedule, but, you know, this is a team that, you know, I think they can go to many.
I was just looking at Boyd showing his yards per carry. They said average
going to lose 3 games. I mean, very solid team in my opinion. The offense is going to be tremendous this year.
You think Dabo Swinney? You think he's maybe, I don't know, maybe not, maybe last year kind of redeemed him, but do you think he might have been a coach on the way out, maybe if he didn't find success?
Last year?
He found it last year. You know, they had the victory over LSU in the bowl game, and, you know, but they lost to South Carolina and they lost to FSU. But before that, he really wasn't looking that good in previous seasons. But maybe this,
yeah,
now, like I say, last year, maybe this year could save him, seems like.
Yeah, I think he definitely was feeling he got. I think if he didn't get those wins or to turn around, yeah, he could have been definitely out because all the recruits they were getting in, you know, they were bringing in talent. They've been, Clemson's been a nice program, you know, so, you know, they're getting the players, so they have to look at the coaching.
Well, Clemson, you know, they kind of like Georgia. Sometimes, you know, Clemson, when you don't think they're going to do nothing, when nobody's watching them, when nobody picks them, here they come. They're the same thing like Georgia. When you pick them, when you think they'll do well, and they have a letdown. That's Clemson. That's Georgia. But they sneak up on you and they get you.
That's a pretty good observation.
Yeah, I'm going to say this, though. We all know the way things were going last year. Georgia just had a roller coaster season because going in, you know, of course, they was ranked, you know, in preseason in the top 5 and everything. And the pressure was on Mark Rick. Like I said, if, you know, he was feeling he had shit. Things didn't go the way they went. Mark Rick probably would be out right now as a Georgia head coach. Especially if they didn't beat Florida. That's when they season turned around. Okay, got them some going. And they had beat Florida. To me, that game saved his job. Even if Georgia would have lost more games after that game, Mark Richt would still be the head coach. That game saved that man's job.
Mm-hmm.
And he got a new contract extension, too.
Mm-hmm. Let's look at which teams have improved themselves and which teams have not. First of all, let me bring in the mouth of the South here. We got Carl
absolutely
Mazda with us.
What's good? What's good? Sorry about the not being prompt.
No problem. No problem. We're just getting into the stocks of which stocks of different teams are going up and which stocks are going down. We're looking at let's start with which team stocks are going up. We have Oregon, who just came off a big Oregon win. They're playing at Division II school, but they had three rushers over 100 yards, plus their running back. I mean, plus their quarterback. Mariota was looking very good. What did you guys come up? You guys come up with any impressions of Oregon this week?
I never really saw them play too much. I know I just saw the score. I don't know. I don't really know what the box score is right now. I got to look at the defensive statistics, but it seems like they're a top five team. So from what I've read and what I've heard, listened to on the radio and television, seems like you know they made a noise and said, hey, we're a top five team. We haven't dropped a beat since what's his name, Chip Kelly left. So I like them.
You're seeing they score 66-3. Shoot, Jay. 66 points to 66 points, my friend.
Tex, you got anything?
No, I saw them. They were impressive. Mariota was ultra impressive. DeAnthony Thomas was impressive. Defensively, they flew around. It just trademarked Oregon. Just, you know, tempo. We're going to run 90 offensive plays. We're just going to wear you out. So that's what they did.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I came away with, and that a lot of people on a couple of insider websites were talking about, was DeAnthony Thomas, and that they're saying that there is a possibility of them being every down back. Now, I know that this was a game against against a D2 school, but and I know that he only weighs 170 pounds. But like I said, there are people that are saying, you know, that he's, you know, you've been taking all the and you know, plus his backup is really strong, Byron Marshall. But there's people, you know, you've been taking all this in practice, and there's been a lot of buzz that, you know, he'll be able to be a 20 or 30 carry kind of guy, at least on the college level. On the NFL level, I ain't gonna put my money on that, but like I say, it's going to be interesting to see how the Heisman race is going to go. When you can get a guy like that, 20 or 30 touches a game. So that should be something we're going to look at. Also, a team with a lot of stock up and a player with a lot of stock up. Make sure I say his name right. Out of Florida State, is it Jameis or Jameis?
I don't really know how to say his name. J-Boo. J-Boo. That's all I'm going to call him. Jay Boo. That's what his nickname is, Jay Boo.
Jay Boo Winston. And he put on a show at about 350 yards pass. I think he only had two incompletions the whole day. And he was on everybody's radar. He's been a five-star freshman. He's a redshirt freshman. And they say, he showed he has an arm, and they also say he can win it with his legs, too. What did you guys come away from with FSU and with J-Boo?
Well, I mean, clearly, based on what I saw this weekend, I put Florida State as my number one team in the country right now. And I know that's kind of crazy some people think about that. I put them as my number one team right now in the country. They're the most impressive team I saw this whole weekend. I think they can be
interesting. I remember almost 1 year ago, somebody, maybe it was you, saying the same thing about FSU.
No, I said they could get to the national championship game, and I was wrong. I was completely wrong about that. And you know, I was wrong. But I think this year could be the year for Florida State. Now, the only thing is they have to go to Gainesville, which I don't know if they can win that game. And they have to go to Clemson. And I don't know how Miami is. Miami's a wild card. We're going to see how they are this weekend. But I think with the quarterback playing like that and the depth they have at running back, the depth they have at receiver, and a defense that's up and coming, I think right now they're the number one team in the country right now. They're not ranked that way, obviously, but I think eventually they're going to creep their way up to the number one spot. And I put Jay Boo at the top of the Heisman candidate right now. I put him at the – because he played the best
after
out of all the players
week?
In the country. I'm saying after week one. No, I'm saying after week one. I mean, it's going to change further down the season depending on how people play. But the most impressive player I saw this whole weekend was him. He was the most impressive player I saw.
Yowzers.
Jay Boo is the guy you call referring to as Jay Winston, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let me ask you, what impressions did you come away with James Wilder?
Oh, he's a pretty physical back, very good. Run between the tackles pretty well. Has somewhat of a good speed. I think him with Freeman, that little thunder and lightning kind of combo right there, because both of them are pretty good running backs. I think that provides depth. So. In regards to James Wilder, I think he's a pretty good player. He will be an NFL running back.
Yeah, he was a former five. I think he might have been even the top player in the country when he came out of high school.
Yeah, he was. He was the top player in the country.
He's from.
I met him before too.
Tampa,
so. Yeah, I met him before. He used to go to the same barbershop I used to go to, and he looks like a grown man already in high school. So
yeah,
I saw
pictures. They were trying to get him at USC. A lot of people were saying that he'd be better suited at linebacker, though.
Yeah, but I guess you know he wanted to play the position his dad played, because a lot of people don't know his dad played in the league too. So
he sure did. Yeah.
So I guess that's why he wanted to do the running back thing, but. But, yeah, he's going to be in the pros. I don't know if he's going to be like I don't think he's as good as Yeldon, something like that. But I think, you know, he'll be a pretty good player in the pros. You know, he'll have his yards.
Yeah, I think he should have made the switch to I think he should have stayed at a linebacker. It reminds me of, like, coming out of high school, he reminded me a lot of DJ Williams. Another, you know, he was from up here, and he was a running back/linebacker. And he actually started off at running back at Miami, and then he switched to linebacker. And Matt has had a successful career at that. You know, body-wise and, you know, just his style of play, he reminds me a lot of him. Like I said, that's how DJ was built, you know, when he was in high school, too, you know, looking like that. Mike, what'd you come up with in this Florida State?
I pretty much started in other than seeing the guy, how they talked about his numbers, I mean, what a first game to have. I mean, he might be something right there. I was seeing that, man, Florida State just beat the heck out of Pittsburgh. Even though Tex told me earlier about the ratings being pretty good, I was saying why they showed for the matchup-wise why they had Pittsburgh playing these boys. I mean, being a opening Monday night, you know, season of college football on a holiday, but the first quarter – I see it was competitive, but then that second quarter, Florida State just took it to them boys and never looked back.
Tex, before I let you go, I just want to you put a quote that Jameis Winston put up about University of Texas. Looking here at a response Mac Brown just put up, he said there was a season where the Longhorns were 5-7. And had a lot of staff turnover, and it was hard to recruit out-of-state guys. That's what happened with Winston. And he said he didn't think they had a chance to get him, so they moved on. Wow.
Not buying that. The kid.
Yeah, no.
He grew up in Texas. I mean, he liked OU. He was an OU fan. But... you know, if Texas would have come calling, they would have done it. And Mac Brown's playing at
in politics, man.
Well, he did get Vince Young. I'll give him his credit there, but you know.
That's just like typical Mac Brown business, you know. It's like you couldn't recruit the number one quarterback in the country. You know, really? You know, but anyway.
He wasn't the number one overall recruit. He was like the number one dual threat quarterback. That's what the name they give these quarterbacks.
Yeah,
yeah. You know what I mean. So I'm saying they say the dual threat quarterback, and they'll say pro prospect quarterback. You know, so.
Yeah.
They probably didn't want that dude, man. But it's all good, though. They suffering.
What'd you come away with from Florida State and Winston, Dex?
I thought it seemed like everybody was, I mean, just social media was just, you know, it was like he was great, man. You know what I'm saying? And I did perform very well, but, you know, with me, it's like a process. When I see Winston, and he's young. He's very young. He has some things he needs to work on.
What does he need to work on?
For one thing, it takes him forever to throw the ball, it seems like. You see, it's not like Bridgewater. You know, Bridgewater just, you know, flip his wrist and bam, the ball is there. It's right there,
gotcha,
man. Bridgewater be knocking windows out, man. But I just think he has a little ways to go. I thought it was Pittsburgh. So,
you want to see him get the baptism in fire first before you crown him the next big thing. In other words.
Well, hold on. I want to make a comment on that. But you got to think about this, text, though. I mean, Pittsburgh had a top 30 defense last year, and they had a lot of returning starters. So this was a pretty good defense. But put that aside. You got to think about this. This guy was hyped up since the spring game. Everybody was, like, saying this guy's up for the Heisman. Everybody was pumping this guy up. And so a lot of expectations were given on him, and he lived up to those expectations. So you gotta say that has to say something right there. I mean, he exceeded everybody's expectations that night.
Okay, but I want to see him versus, you know, not Pittsburgh running across the field, but Clemson running across the field, or Florida running across the field, or even Miami coming at him. You know,
that's fair. I understand that. That's fair. But what I'm saying is, I mean, I think it's going to be very unlikely this guy's going to fall off dramatically. I just find that very hard to see.
I don't think he's going to fall off dramatically, but you know, there's a curve. You know what I'm saying? And I just think people fell in love, just off of one game. And you know, I think it's a process. The guy is clearly talented. But you know, I don't look at him as like a transcendent player. Like, here we go, we about to change the game. You know, we about to take it by the horns. We got it locked down. And like I said,
I don't know about that.
I think it's Pittsburgh. I mean, I really do think it's Pittsburgh. And I mean,
yeah, I agree with Tex. I think you have to take it with a grain of salt. I've jumped on the bandwagon with quarterbacks before who've had good games. You look at Ja'Cory Harris out of Miami. His first game, I was like, oh wow, this dude is going to be the next great Miami quarterback, and he never played like how he played after that game. You know, and then he went steadily down after that. So, you know, like I said, I take it with a grain of salt. I agree with that. I have to see, you know, what he does, you know, against other guys on the field, not just against Pittsburgh. So, no matter what their rank. Yes, Dylan.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
No, good. let's move on to teams that underwhelmed and stock has gone down. Tex, I think you want to talk about IU. We all had Georgia on our stock as being down, and let me just go ahead and say one of the main reasons why I had them is their stock being down, not because I think they're a bad team, but it's just how many times are we going to see Georgia lose this game? You know, they always lose these kind of games. It's almost become the staple of Mark Richt to get into the big game and not perform and lose. They've never, you know, and it seems like that's going to be their stigma, you know. So Tex, you said you wanted to debate about them not their stock not being down. What do you have to say about University of Georgia?
Yeah, I'm back. I was lost too.
Oh, you guys were off?
Yeah.
Okay, Tex. I was talking about University of Georgia. You said you wanted to debate about their stock not being down. What do you have to say about University of Georgia?
Oh well, what I was talking about earlier. You know, it's a team that was decimated by the NFL as far as the defense is concerned, and you know, they come out. I mean, they give up they don't give up a ton, but you know, I think Boyd is a great quarterback. I think that's what Boyd was going to do to whatever teams he was playing against. And I don't they lost all them guys on defense, and I mean they were right there. They, you know, they actually came up with the stops that they needed to come up with the stop that they needed to come up with. They just, you know, Andy Murray with the interception. I just thought Boyd was the better quarterback, the better leader for that game. But, you know, Georgia would be all right, fine, considering what they lost defensively. They still gave up only about two or three big plays. Two of them went for touchdowns.
Hello?
I'm here.
I think we're having some issues maybe with Texas connection.
I'm here too.
Oh, really? You kind of dropped out.
Oh.
Yeah, I hear.
Okay. You told me you think Todd Gurley, you think he could be the best running back in the country?
I think so. I mean, I think it's a dead heat between him, T.J. Yeldon, and Duke Johnson. They all three different backs, though. All pretty good. Gurley, man, you know, his legs are so big, he's fast. You know, the guys are tremendous. He's a bad boy.
He had a really good game. Yeldon kind of underwhelmed me this week, but like I said, we'll see what he does from upcoming weeks. Also on our teams that had a stock going down, we had Oregon State and Ohio State. So that's Georgia, Oregon State. Oregon State lost to a Division II school, which was ridiculous, and they were a top 25 team. And Ohio State barely came away with a win over a D2 school. They actually struggled. Did you guys get to watch any of those games? And what'd you come away with from any of those teams?
I did. Ohio State, you know, early on in the game, I thought they had a shot to maybe get Ohio State. They were, you know, they were looking fast. They were looking quick. They were firing off the ball. The quarterback was accurate. But the thing is, I mean, you know, when you're playing Ohio State and you're Buffalo, you know, you got to be hitting them home runs. You know, you got to be hitting big plays, and you got to be getting them touchdowns. The difference clearly was Braxton Miller, who you can tell has improved as a pocket passer. But
Buffalo's D-line was able to, you know, they were kind of able to ragdoll Ohio State's O-line. At times, Ohio State did look slow. They just, you know, they kind of underwhelmed me. If Buffalo, if they hit the home runs early, I don't know if it changes the outcome of the game, but, you know, it's definitely some intrigue there. They look slow. Ohio State looks slow, you know, like most big teams do. It looks slow.
Okay. Like I said, it was definitely underwhelming. What'd you say, Mike?
I didn't get a chance to see the game, but saw the score. I just say, hey, Ohio State still undefeated and haven't lost since 2011. So, hey, maybe, you know, let's keep the winning streak going. I see they did score 23 unanswered points in the first quarter. Probably, you know, score 7 in the second. And probably, I guess, you know, maybe they just ran out of gas hitting the first quarter. You know, continuing that streak right now. They one of the winningest teams in the nation right now. They, Urban Meyer still haven't lost the game as Ohio State's head coach.
Mike, this is just go by the box score, and you have to watch the game. They look slow.
Yep. So very. I'll say this stat right here: 8 rushing yards for Ohio State's lead. I mean, hold on. No, wait. No, I'm tripping. I'm looking at something else. No, they actually
5.8 yards for rush.
Oh, tripping. He only had 178 passing yards. He was outpassed by the quarterback at Buffalo. And like I say, when you know, can you hear me, Mike?
I hear you now.
Okay, yeah, we're having problems. We're having problems with our studio. But when you have a team like Ohio State, they're either going to come in and score a lot of points off that, or they're going to score a lot of points at the end. Like I say, you take out that third quarter, which I know is not physically possible, but, I mean, take away that first quarter and, you have Buffalo coming away with the win. So, you know, like I say, it's just something to look at. I don't, you know, you don't press the panic button over anything like that, but, you know, like Tech said, it was definitely underwhelming. Like I say, I was also underwhelmed by Bama. I know Clausel was gonna scream a lot about that, but
no, I'm not gonna scream at that, man.
You take away Jones's 2 returns, and you know, you have a totally different game. Virginia Tech isn't a slouch, but I don't know. Like I say, it just didn't look like the Bama I expected to be. You know, McCarron didn't look all that good. He threw for under 50%. Yeldon didn't blow me. You know, there wasn't, you know, besides Jones, you know, his returns, like I say, nothing really blew me away. The defense was stout. I think Virginia Tech, their quarterback is horrible, Logan Thomas. I've never seen a quarterback who's fallen off as much as him in recent memory. This was a guy who a couple of years ago, they were talking about being a possible number one pick, Heisman Trophy winner. And now he's coming off a game where he just went 5 for 26 with a pick and for 59 yards. And they're talking about him might not even be in the starter anymore. So, you know, like I said, it was an underwhelming Virginia Tech game. But, like I said, I don't know. Bama just didn't blow me away. You know, I expected them to come out, kind of like they've done in previous years, you know. And, you know, just hit the field, you know, look like a juggernaut like I expect him to be. And I think they only managed I'm looking at here, they only had 206 yards of total offense, which was, you know, kind of a pooper. What did you think about that game, Clausel, you being a Bama fan?
Yeah, I mean, I think the offensive line has issues. Like I said, man, people say McCarron, I mean – he's good when it's 3rd and 4, 3rd and 3, something like that. But I'd rather take Jameis Winston over him right now. 3rd and 12, I mean, I take Jay Boo over McCarron right now. I think he's a better quarterback than McCarron. And I know that's a blasphemous statement, and probably Tex really thinks it's a blasphemous statement.
McCarron is a two-time
champion.
I
I said McCarron is
He's a two-time Texan. He's like he's a two-time champion because he has a very talented team. He's surrounded by a talented team.
They don't beat LSU. They don't beat LSU twice, and they don't beat Georgia.
I know. I understand. It's a blasphemous statement. I understand that. He's a two-time champion. And I got you with the LSU game.
But
he made some impressive throws. But I've watched his body of work ever since he started. And I think he's a byproduct of a very good running game, very good offensive line. And with the exception of that Texas A&M game, you know, he threw a critical pick at the end of the game. I think the thing with McCarron is, you got a 3rd and 8, can he deliver most of the time? Most of the time he cannot. If you got 3rd and 3, he can just go back, drop back, and hits a little check down, and he's good. All right?
And
you're going to see that when he gets to the pros. You're going to see that when he gets to the pros, because he's not going to be a great quarterback in the pros. So,
go ahead.
Yeah, some scouts, you're saying some scouts have him first round, just like they had Matt Leinart first round?
No.
He's kind of a Matt Leinart kind of a guy. That's what he is.
No, I was fixing to say some scouts have.
Say it again, Tex. I'm sorry.
3rd and 8. Just go back to that LSU BCS title game. Trent Richardson didn't do nothing. They couldn't move the ball unless McCarron was moving the ball.
All right, man. Yeah, I mean that's true. That's true. I'm just looking at the body of work, man, from week in to week out. And you make a good point there.
I am too. Even in that last year's game, I mean, I thought LSU had that game. I thought that was it. And then they just went right down the field. And the dude was just, you know, he was making throws under pressure.
I believe he was.
It's not a bunch of Mary Poster's Tinkerbells running around on LSU defense. I'm just
no sir.
God, he was, and you know what? He might not be an NFL quarterback, but I mean, this dude. I mean, he's come up clutch for Alabama, and oh yeah, he does. And definitely the supporting cast helps. But I mean, I've seen LSU just bring it to his ass, and he just make that throw.
It is true, Quazo.
Right.
Like Nick said, we are talking about college here, so you got to look at the college.
Yeah, I got
you.
I was saying, Death Valley too at LSU on the road when McCarron did that.
Yeah, it was on the road.
Yeah, that Death Valley.
I just think
fans where it's hard. He got it done.
But back to Alabama, I think they'll show up that problems and then they'll be back, you know, as a top five team for the rest of the year. I'm not worried about Alabama right now.
Okay.
We'll see in a couple of weeks to get Texas A&M.
Yeah. Who did you guys come away with as your most impressive players of the week? I personally, like I said, I looked at the first game I saw was the Jadeveon Clowney North Carolina South Carolina game. A lot of people said, you know, Clowney underperformed, whatever, because he didn't get, you know, 8 sacks. I don't know if people were expecting to get 8 sacks. Tex, you were talking about with one of your friends. Can you kind of explain and? Like I said, this is not to bash anybody that's never played football or done anything physical. But Tex, can you kind of explain what kind of impact somebody like Clowney does? And this, you know, for people who don't know, it's not easy to push another man out of the way who's not letting you push him out of the way. You know, any kind of physical resistance you come up against is not easy. You know, so to expect a guy, you know, to get, you know, 8 or 9 sacks or whatever a game, that's not feasible. But the way that Clowney was dominating that offensive line, which is a good offensive line, I mean, the dude he was lined up with was All-American, who's going to be a first-round pick next year. Can you talk about Clowney's performance and what you took away from it?
You know, I thought Clowney did get winded. You know, he got a little winded. But you know what? Most D-lines last year got winded when they played North Carolina. Their O-line really beats on people. You know, you asked Giovanni Bernard about that. You know what I'm saying? He's a product of that offensive line. .570 nobody can just jump off the line and rush the quarterback. Set edge for 65-70 plays a game. Nobody can do that. I thought North Carolina did a good job of game planning. They went low at times. They slid protection to Clowney's side. Clowney was still able to get pressure in some spots. I thought he set the edge pretty well. I thought he played well against the run. I don't know why it has to be an 85 sack game. I mean, that's not his only responsibility to sack the quarterback. And guys who play sports, who play football, they understand that. And, you know, it's always a bias. You know, that guy, Mike, if it was somebody from Notre Dame, they'd have been great. You know, he did three tackles.
Exactly.
And, oh, he did other stuff. He did this and that, but it's okay. But, you know, they did fine. Of course, you do want to see more, but, you know, I thought, and it was, to me, it was going to be tough for them versus North Carolina. While North Carolina's unranked, they're still not a slouch, especially offensively. You know, they have potential to be explosive offensively, and the O-line is top-notch. So, you know, people, you know, you have to – now, he does be in better shape. Of course he does. But, again, you know, he did fine. He didn't hurt the team. Nobody is going to rush the passer for 70 plays without taking a playoff, without getting a breather. It doesn't even happen in the NFL with the best defensive line. Okay? So
– yeah. I look at it like I said, the way he was playing, to me he was surprisingly effective at coming up the middle of defensive tackle too. I was surprised how much penetration he was getting coming up the middle. It reminded me a lot of Richard Seymour style of play. Richard Seymour, you know, he's a all pro defensive lineman, but he wasn't really a big sack guy. But if you ever look at the way he would dominate an offensive line and cause confusion in the backfield and, you know, and make push guys back. And, you know, like I say, you know the focus was going to be on him because whatever he's doing was going to be, you know, major. That's kind of the game that Clowney played. You know, he showed, like I said, to me, he showed me that I didn't know that he had that kind of game in him. I thought that he was just going to be a straight pass rush kind of guy. But to me, he showed me a different aspect of his game. Like I said, if, you know, they're saying that he had a stomach flu or whatever. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because, like I say, the dude, you know, he's a physical marvel. There's no reason. I mean, I've never heard lazy accompany with him. So, I'm going to, you know, there's no reason why he wouldn't, you know, want to be his best. So, you know, like I said, I'm going to look at him, you know, in upcoming weeks and see how things go with him. And, you know, like I say, but just, you know, just the way he was dominating that line. Now, you know, like I say, if he was winded, you know, that was very highly impressive. He didn't do anything to knock him out of the number one spot to me. Who else did you guys come away with impressed from week one in college football? Clavel?
Khalil Wright from Buffalo.
Who's that? Is that the running back over there?
The defensive lineman. He was old linebacker, D lineman. He was ragdolling. I mean, he was just taking dudes down for Ohio State.
Yeah.
That's why I say, man, they look slow. He was dealing with him. Mariota was dealing this weekend. Bridgewater was. I mean, everybody's talking about Winston, but man, Bridgewater. I mean, it's just, you know, he looked like an NFL quarterback. The zip on the ball, I mean, the location, the accuracy, the decision-making. I mean, he was just
ball was right there. The spiral was tight. He was very, very accurate. I mean, he was, you know.
So, yeah, I guess I'll say, since he kind of probably set the tone, you all hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't hear him now.
I think our studio connection's having problems. Continue on to what Tex was saying, Teddy Bridgewater, one of the things that impresses me about him so much is he hasn't even really begun to use his legs yet. I mean, this is a dude who has, you know, 4.45 speed. You know, he was a dual threat quarterback coming out of high school. And he's been doing all this stuff basically from the pocket. I mean, he moves around the pocket well, but we haven't really even seen him show that breakaway ability that everybody, you know, says that he has. I mean, this was, you know, some people thought he was going to be a wide receiver, you know. And like I say, I haven't seen a quarterback who's made this kind of transition, you know, from athlete to pocket passer like that. It's really amazing. And his arm strength. He doesn't look like he has a cannon, but he's one of those flick of a wrist guys where he flicks that wrist and that ball just, you know, you can tell it's got some force on it. And like I say, he's gonna be good, man. He's gonna be. I can't wait to see him get on play on Sunday. He's gonna be a pretty good guy. Mike, are you back connected with us?
Yeah, I hear you,
Mike. Okay, yeah, go ahead. Okay, go ahead. Now, what were you saying?
I was going to say the guy, I guess, going to stick with Clydesdale Bama. I mean, the guy, I guess you could say, kind of set the tone and scored on the first touchdown. I'm going to say, you know, Christian Jones did too. And, you know, the offense, I give it to him. I mean, I'm not going to doubt McCarron, you know. Hey, he's a two-time champion. But Alabama offense, I guess you kind of say, was kind of sluggish too. But, you know, they got the W and special teams came and all the hype about Bama, you know, trying to repeat it, you know, be three-time champions. Hey, they got the W.
Mm-hmm. Let me, Bill, who'd you come up with from first week impressions, players?
Oh, Jay Boo. That's who it is. My number one, he's on top of my Heisman list right now, Jay Boo.
It's going to be
okay.
Kind of.
I want to see what James. I want to know what James has to say. I know he's online here. I want to know what James has to say about this.
I'm about to bring him in right now. Let me bring in. Hold on, Mike. Let me bring in this. Let me bring in James. James, you're on with the TNT Firestorm.
Yo, how's it going, y'all?
We're talking about players who have left us in week one, college.
Yeah, I don't know what Clydesdale was talking about with anything McCarron do, but as far as, like, players that impress me, I just go from, you know, two from the Clemson and Georgia game. Number one was Taj Boyd, and number two was Todd Gurley. They both had, like, excellent games in that game on Saturday night. So I say those who impressed me the most.
Who's your most impressive team?
Most impressive team. Right now, I'd say Clemson, because even though they were going back and forth with Georgia for like 3.5 quarters, by the fourth quarter they were able to, you know, pull away from it. So I'd say Clemson right now.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You can keep going.
If you had to pick who is going to be your in the BCS title game, James, right now, what two teams would you put up there?
For BCS title game?
Yeah.
I would put Clemson as one if they run the table, but in order for them to be in there, I'd say that Florida State had to be undefeated first and South Carolina has to be undefeated second in order for them to have a chance for that. The second team would be, I hate to say it because I really don't like the team, but Stanford.
Stanford they're definitely going to fly under a lot of people's radars this year. They have Kevin Hogan, he's an excellent quarterback. Their defense is going to be, I think their defense is going to be what's going to get people because usually, you know, Stanford is all about offense and the quarterback. But their defense, led by Shane Scholes, that linebacker, they're gonna be very good. They're slowly but surely turning Stafford to a West Coast powerhouse again. You know, it's a very desirable area to live in. You know, it's a very desirable school to go to. It's weird because it's almost like an Ivy League school that has a good football team. So it's gonna be interesting to see how things keep going at Stanford. Let me get everybody else's BCS picks too right now. Who else do you guys think will be playing in the national championship game after week one? Pause off.
I don't know, but I got Florida State versus I don't know, man. Florida State versus Alabama.
Hey, really?
Never know about that, because they finally said that the last year. He didn't even have Bama in the championship.
I'm not even sure about Alabama, to be honest with you, but keep going. I got Florida State right now.
I'll say Alabama after week one. They're just a special team. Like you said, a special team came through in that game. Second game, I'm going to go with giving them some hype. They might move up. They definitely got the quarterback. I'm going to say Louisville. Alabama versus Louisville.
All right, what about you, Tex?
And Louisville beats Bama. Teddy Bridgewater, baby. Bama doesn't win the third championship because Teddy Bridgewater dissected that defense, and Bama had no answer for that guy.
My goodness. What about you, Tex?
Alabama and Oregon.
I'm gonna take Oregon, but also I'm gonna take Louisville. I think they could easily run the table. I can see a lot of those other teams getting at least one loss. And Michael Dyer, we really didn't talk about him, but his first carry took it to the house, I believe, for like 60 yards. You know, you get him and Teddy Bridgewater, you're going to have explosive offense. I think they're going to tear through that conference. So, you know, like I said, I could easily – and Oregon is just, you know, their offense. And it's just overwhelming right now. If they keep playing like that, I mean, it's going to be hard for anybody to beat them. So right now I'm going to pick Louisville and Oregon. That's going to wrap up our
– Hey, Mike, who wins between Louisville and Oregon?
What'd you say?
Who wins between Louisville and Oregon?
Oregon. that's going to wrap up our NFL portion, I mean our college football portion. Once again, you guys want to call in, the number is 347-237-5539. Right now we're going to move into our NFL topics. We got week one of the NFL coming up. A lot of big games. Let's look at Baltimore and Denver. Baltimore coming off a Super Bowl. Denver coming off, these are the two AFC Championship teams. Who you guys got coming out on top of that? Baltimore, Denver, who you guys like?
Denver, baby. Like I said, you know, this week after the Super Bowl, I said Denver's going to be in the Super Bowl next year. They ain't going to be in it. Revenge. Hey, Manning, of course, is going to be a Thursday night game, prime time. We all know it's about Peyton. This year it's New York. Peyton's the sponsor of the NFL, the logo. It's all about Peyton Manning. He's going to get it done, man. You know, they got some guys out with Von Miller being out and Chan Barrow. I think I heard today, unless it changes tomorrow, but it's not going to play. But Peyton Manning's going to get it. So, Denver, baby.
What do you think,
Gaza?
Hello?
I got Denver, too. I mean, you know, they're going to be excited. They're going to be mad about not winning the playoff game. And, you know, they'll be pumped. So it'll be a convincing win by Denver.
Dex?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and go with Denver.
way above sea level. Denver opening with Peyton Manning. I'm going to roll with the Broncos. I think it favors them, but, you know, the line, I think, is 8. I think it's down to 7 times. Tim Bailey might not be playing. I don't think he's going to play, so the line is down to 7-5. I don't know if I see Denver covering, simply because, I think the Ravens are underrated. The defense is going to be fast. They're more versatile. They'll be better there. They have one of the best O-lines in the NFL. Denver's having some problems up front. They're a bit smallish. They'll be without Von Miller. You have to see where the pass rush is coming from to get to Joe Flacco. But I think I have to go with Denver. Peyton Manning and, with Decker, Demaryius Thomas, and Wes Welker in the slot. The young basketball player, Julius Thomas, who everybody is up on now for fantasy football purposes, but I've been watching this guy since he was at Portland State. Their starting tight end. It'll just be too many weapons, I think, for Baltimore to account for. And then there's Peyton Manning.
Also, another big week one matchup, ATL at New Orleans. Going to have two high-flying offenses.
Just a few days ago, Peyton Manning is really, really raving about this guy, too. He really likes the guy. And of course, that speaks a lot about Peyton Manning. So if he's raving about him saying how good this guy is and how he gets it, I mean, watch out.
Okay. Like I said, I was saying, week one also, we got ATL at New Orleans. Two high-flying offenses. Drew Brees, he's going to be an offensive explosion whenever he gets on the field. And also you got ATL, who on paper is one of the more balanced and a better team in the league. They're coming off the NFC Championship, championship game, and they got a lot of big expectations. What do you guys have coming out of this matchup for the NFC South?
I like the Saints. Sean Payton's back, then a year out of football. The team's on rally, get it going. Drew Brees, it's going to be a battle between those two teams, but I like the Saints. Drew Brees, he's Super Bowl champion quarterback. He got his coach back. And that defense in
New
Orleans,
Go ahead. You think Sean Payton, you think his return is really going to have that big of an impact on New Orleans?
I think so. I think the Saints kind of missed him last year. I think they did miss him last year. The coaches they had to go through, and they had Cromer. We was in terms, and he had, was there to the Loomis, not Loomis, I forgot the other guy who was one of the assistant coaches who came, the coach who was suspended, who was the head coach. So I think that just kind of, the guy organized the team last year, not having him and all that type of stuff. So I think it shows the importance of a coach. And I think definitely, having Sean Payton. The flip side of it, though, the only bad thing is it's too bad they lost Will Smith. They star, player on defense. He out for the year with a torn ACL. But Saints is going to find a way to win, and I think they're going to win.
Okay. Clauzel?
Hold on. Question one more time. I'm sorry.
Looking at ATL New Orleans.
I got Atlanta. I think it's going to be a big game for Matt Ryan. Julio Jones, top 5 receiver.
Here we go.
I think this is a year that there's going to be no question about it. This is going to be the year where it's going to be no question he's going to be a top 5 receiver, and he's going to convince all you guys on the radio.
He's not playing Ronnie White. And I say this, though.
There's that ambiguity there with everybody here on this line that he's not better than Roddy White. I think this year, what I'm saying is this is a year that he's going to separate himself from Roddy White, and he's going to shut everybody up. But that's what I predict that's going to happen. But this is, we can keep going, though.
I saw Jeffrey going to be better than your boy.
Oh, please. All right, let's just keep going, Penny.
That was pretty funny. I'm gonna take New Orleans.
I'm gonna remember that text.
Huh?
I'm remember you said that. Thank you.
All right. Remember it. Take a record. You got a podcast.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm gonna say New Orleans. Sean Payton's coming back. Drew Brees is gonna be ready. They just signed Robert Meacham, who is just a guy with San Diego, but you have Meacham, you have Kenny Stills, who are running the vertical routes. Nobody's touching Jimmy Graham, Marcus Colston, and Darren Sproles underneath. And when you look at Atlanta, you worry about the pass rush. Who's going to get a pass rush on Drew Brees? You worry about that. But I think Atlanta got some people fooled. While I still think they're pretty good, I think folks have Atlanta fooled. Not an overly physical team. Really got beat up last year against Carolina. Oakland even beat them up. Even though they did lose, they got pushed around by several teams. But I'm gonna go with New Orleans because I don't think Atlanta has the guys to get to Drew Brees. And Saints just have too many targets. They have too many ways to beat squads.
It's interesting. I didn't know that Robert Meacham had returned to New Orleans. It's funny how a quarterback like a Drew Brees can make a guy like Robert Meacham, a $30 million guy, to the Chargers, and you know, then when he gets there, he ends up getting cut and coming right back to New Orleans for a 1-year deal. Like I said, I look forward to seeing. You know, you mentioned Kenny Stills. I think he was a good value pick. I look forward to seeing how him and Drew Brees how they mesh. Stills had a pretty good career at University of Oklahoma. James, who do you think about this matchup between ATL and New Orleans?
Well, in New Orleans here? Nah, I think I'd say New Orleans will take that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty much like, yeah, gonna go with them. I'm not like I'm really like off and on with this right now because, man, y'all caught me in the middle of a fantasy football draft. And I'm about to make this first round pick. Nah, but for real though, man. I'm really interested to see what the New Orleans Saints do this season with the return of the head coach, and you know, to see if their offense is, you know, back on and back up to speed, and also with are they supposed to have was it Rob Ryan on the defensive as defense coordinator?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'd like to see how that's going to work out because, you know, New Orleans defense ain't really, you know, known for being all too well, especially the pass defense. So we'll see if they'll be able to improve this season.
Okay.
I was going to say, is the game going to be in Atlanta or the game's going to be in New Orleans?
New Orleans.
Who's the favorite, though? What's the point spread?
I don't know about all that now.
I haven't seen.
You plan on gambling on the game, Mike?
No, I was just saying, since we was asking the points player of the Denver, I guess they haven't point. They probably had it out Thursday or Friday.
Spray could go either way, though.
If I was a betting man, it could go either way. But I was just kind of going to slight favor to New Orleans with Drew Brees and Sean Payton. They won, and like you said, like I said, Sean Payton was out of football last year, so the team going to be motivated, especially Drew Brees, to get it for his coach.
Another game we have going on is Cincinnati at Chicago. Cincinnati, we've got to see them on Hard Knocks this year. They got a pretty good team. They got a pretty complete team. We've talked about them before in our preseason preview. I believe Tex doesn't believe that Andy Dalton's a guy that's going to take them all the way. But other than that, we all had pretty good reviews of them. The Bears, they're kind of a team in a flux right now. They got some good points and they have some bad. It's just a matter of, the good overweighing the bad, I guess, with them. I've never really been too sold on Cutler as a quarterback. Even when he had that first good year when he was in Denver, and then that crazy trade and all that, like I said, I didn't think that he was worth that. But like I said, they do have some weapons in place. They still have Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey, and they got Matt Forte at running back. So like I said, they have all the weapons in place. Let's start off with you, Mike. What do you think about this matchup? Of course, I know you're going to say the Bears are going to win. But
of course, man. You already know that. I'm so excited to see how the offensive line. Of course, we starting two rookies on the right side, Kyle Long and Mills. I mean, they've been playing pretty good as rookies. I mean, of course, they're going to make mistakes, but they're just playing real good. So it's going to be key of how they're going to play in that game. And Kyle Long, of course, is going to go against Geno Atkins, who some say is the best defensive tackle, best three technique defensive tackle in the game right now. So it's definitely going to be a big test for Kyle Long. But, to go against that defense, of course, our defense, so some don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game. They think it's going to be a low-scoring game, which it wouldn't surprise me if battle of the defense, who makes the less turnovers. And Tex said, Andy Dalton, this is year three for him, and you don't think he's that type of quarterback. Well, Cutler, we all know, is a better quarterback than Dalton. It's Bears offense to the Bears when it comes to the weapons. Matt Forte, I think he's going, the Lions do what they do, he might have a nice game. It's to the Bears. You look at the receivers, of course. They got Green. I mean, he's nice, but we got Brandon Marshall. And also the guy I was just saying, which I was saying to Clydesdale, which I'm going to say, maybe he's a little homeroom because he is a Chicago Bear, but the guy even said that he had the best camp out of everybody, and he trained with Brandon Marshall down in Florida. It's Alshon Jeffrey. And if Alshon Jeffrey gets it going, now, I'm just reading it, like you said. I watched him play in the preseason, man. He looks real good. And Jay Cutler said he had the best count out of everybody. He said that. Hey, that's right there. We got the weapons right there on the offense for us, so it's going to come down to it. Execution and making plays and making that turnover. And I think quarterback play favors us, so the Bears going to win. Bears down Chicago Bears, 1-0 at Soldier Field. Here we are.
Okay, Tex, what do you think about this? I want to hear what you had to say about the Bears in the Cincinnati.
I believe the Bears win for no other reason than I think, it's a home game. The defense will be fine. I don't think either quarterback has a huge game. Jay Cutler, he's silly. Andy Dalton might be a little sillier. I think it comes down to what Matt Forte does. But, the Bengals, while Mike is just giving it to the Bears, the Bengals, they have it at all three levels. They got playmakers at linebacker. They have a deep defensive line. And, the thing about the Bengals, the most impressive thing about them is when they get the pass rush, it's not, it's not like a popcorn chicken finger type pass rush. It's never where it's just one guy winning the battle. They come in waves. It's like two, three, four guys winning their battle, and they get to the football. They fire zone with Geno Atkins. Perfect cleans everything up. He was such an instinctive linebacker, and we knew he could play all that mess they was talking. All he had to do was turn on the turn on the tape, and you knew Vontaze Burfict was a baller. They have the best slot cornerback in the NFL in Adam Jones, if Green Bay's Casey Hayward isn't. But, you know, it's when it comes down to it, to me, it comes down to the quarterback. And I don't know about Dalton going, playing against the top defense at their house. So that's why I got to go. That's why I got to go with the Bears. But, you know, the Bengals aren't not a slouch. You know what I'm saying? Not by any means. A complete football team, but, you know, I don't think they have the quarterback, but I think the Bears win this game.
What kind of impact do you think that James Harrison is going to have on Vontaze Burfict?
Well, he'll be playing on the strong side. I think James Harrison will be all right. I think he'll be a force against the run. I'm thinking he'll get his opportunities to rush the passer. I don't know how much he'll play on nickel downs. I think most of the time he'll probably be a two-down guy. And I think the matchup will dictate what happens with James Harrison. You know, Zimmer is a versatile defensive coordinator. He's coordinated 3-4 defenses. He's coordinated 4-3 defenses. So I guess we'll just have to see how they use Harrison. But I can see them being in a 3-4 look with Harrison coming off the edge. I can see them in a 4-3 with him coming off the edge or coming in on a stunt or whatever. I can see them dropping him in coverage, but definitely at the worst, I see him in a 2-down roll. But we'll just have to go ahead and see what they do. But I think James Harrison is fine. And, you know, I don't think the Bengals sign James Harrison if he can't play, you know.
What do you think about the Bears and the Bengals?
I got the Bengals. I just think the Bengals are a better team.
Jose, are you there?
Yeah, I think the Bengals are a better team. No disrespect, Mike. I just think they're a Bengals better team.
All right, go ahead.
I mean, that's what it boils down. They're just a better team.
You think it's going to be a close game now, Father?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it'll be a close game. It's going to be a close game.
Okay.
But
I think the Bengals have a better roster. I think they have one of the best rosters in the NFL. But it's like I said, I don't know about the quarterback going in to the house of another elite defense. It doesn't make Chicago great that they beat Cincinnati. It doesn't make Cincinnati great if they beat Chicago. I just, you know, I think Cutler greater than Dalton. And, you know, while they both some silly quarterbacks, you know, I think the first quarterback to make two mistakes, his team loses.
That's fair, yeah.
Okay, James, do you have any thoughts on that?
Actually, I'll pass on that.
Okay, he must be into his draft, though.
Yeah, I'm in it.
We also have Green Bay, San Francisco coming up. It's going to be a pretty big matchup. Two high-profile teams. A lot of history behind this matchup. You're going to see two good quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers and Colin Kaepernick. I'm out of the Niners coming away with the victory on this one. Just because.
Of course, Mike.
Niners have a better team than them, I think. Like I said, I got the Niners going to the Super Bowl again. I think they have the squad to do it. I really want to see Colin Kaepernick. I want to see him play a full season. I think he's going to be great. I think it's going to be a good game. Like I said, they got a lot of good matchups this first week. What do you think about this game, Tex?
Although I like Green Bay, and I love Aaron Rodgers, Clay Matthews, DeTony Jones. I'm going to go with San Francisco this game. you know, they have the best offensive line in the NFL, and it's really hard on the opposition playing against them with everything that they do. I mean, they're so versatile. You know, they're big, they're quick. I mean, they, you know, they really get out on you, and they pound you, they wear on you in so many different ways. I mean, Alex Boone is 6'8". I mean, he's, you know, why he's probably the tall. I mean, he's like the smallest lineman. So, I mean, this is a really – they have a really, really good offensive line. The quarterback is a playmaker. He's smart. I love their running game. I love their front seven when Justin Smith is healthy. I think this is a game that the 49ers win. I think there's probably – I mean, it's, if the Bengals don't have the best roster in the NFL, then it's either the Seahawks or it's the 49ers. I think that's 1, 2, 3 right there as far as rosters are concerned. But the Niners, you know, they have everything. They have the front seven. They have the O-line. I mean, they have the trench play. They have the ball control. They can get big plays. Finally, Quentin Patton, my guy, is finally settling in. He's making some plays. He's carving out a role. I expect Vernon Davis to come up big. Usually, you don't get much on the edges versus Green Bay on the boundaries, but you can work them in the middle. I think Vernon Davis will be a factor, and I think he'll really work Green Bay in the middle. But I got San Francisco winning this game.
Okay. So what kind of role do you think Aquan Bolden's going to have on the Niners?
Is a boundary blocker. They might move him around to the slot. You know, they'll probably end up moving him different places. And Baltimore is smart. I mean, Bolden had an outstanding postseason, but, you know, he's – you know, he can't run anymore. He's going to be a force in the run game, blocking. He can still run some routes. He can't separate from the defensive backs. He'll win some underneath one-on-ones. He's not going to really help stretch the field. Best season in Baltimore. I put it to you like that.
Okay.
Brother?
San Francisco, Green Bay. I got San Francisco. You know, the defense. I got them in a close game, though. You know, I think, you know, it'll be like a 21-17 type of game. It's just that defense. I don't think, it's just that defense. I don't think Green Bay is going to be able to score consistently against that defense, you know, so. With that, just based off of that right there, I got San Francisco winning.
What have you been hearing about your boy Eddie Lacy, if anything?
They say he's good, man. I mean, I think he'll show flashes of greatness because that's what we do at Alabama. Because I still think Mark Ingram's going to be a pretty good back too. But I think that Lacy will show.
He's been a forgotten man.
All right, whatever, man. He's gonna bounce back. But the thing is,
he couldn't beat out guys like Joe K. Bell and Chris Ivory, those powerful running backs. he couldn't beat those guys out.
Yeah, but the point I'm making is, he'll show flashes. He'll show flashes of being a good running back, that is Eddie Lacy. But I still think the Niners will win the game. That's all I have to say.
Okay.
Richardson was a productive back last year. I just want to let people know that. He was a productive back. He was just injury-plagued the whole year. Trent Richardson, he was a productive player.
You're talking about Eddie Lacy?
So he was a productive player, too.
You're talking about Trent Richardson.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
Richardson.
Can't be talking
fine,
about Mark Ingram.
Ingram, no go.
No.
And this is England. So start by the entire year, right?
I'd be surprised if he's on the NFL roster next year, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
Going into 2013
we'll
or 13, Mike?
Huh?
You're talking about going into this season or next season, 2014?
Next season. I'd be surprised if Ingram's on the roster next season.
I guess I added in about the San Francisco Green Bay. San Francisco got a much better offensive line. Green Bay's line, they got the same, had the same issue we had, in Chicago with my Bears. They also line are kind of old, and their best lineman, Brian Bulaga, who was their left tackle, he out for the year, so that's a big blow. First game of the year. Any games will be in San Francisco, correct, right? Not in Lambeau?
Yeah.
So, that's pretty bad right there. And I've seen that game how San Francisco just ran on them boys in that playoff game. I'm still not sold on Green Bay Packers run defense and going that line. I think Carvell said the score is 21-17. I won't be surprised the score be, say, 35-20 or something like that, San Francisco. But I say again, Callie Mike, some people might say, could this be the preview of the NFC Championship? Would this Mike preview of the NFC Championship? Because I already have it, are in mind. Those are, some of the top teams in the NFC. But I'm still, like I said, with San Francisco, they definitely a contender. Are they going to win that division? Are they a team that's going to be winning that NFC West? I don't know. I'm still saying y'all going to miss Crabtree, man. If he hadn't went down, I would have clear cut in the Super Bowl. But Crab is out, so that's why I still have my doubts on that, Cali Mike. But y'all going to win Sunday.
Okay. Let's move on to the next area. Real quick, I want everybody to give me their top five teams in the league. Tex, you want to start it off?
The number one, I'm gonna go with the Seahawks. I think it's the deepest roster. I think they have, you talk about defensive line, linebackers, secondary. I think it's the best secondary in the league by far. It's already tough to run on them. They're kind of unconventional with what they do in their front seven a little bit with the bodies that they have. They got so many different kind of body types up front from Bruce Irvin, a 245 pound defensive end, to Red Bryant, a 325 pound defensive end. It's just so many body types. The linebackers fly, Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright, they fly, they hit, and then there's a secondary. It's just tough to move the ball on them guys through the air. I think they have the best secondary by far. They have 9-10 defensive backs that can absolutely play. So they're my number one team. My number two team, I got to say the 49ers. Again, best O-line in league. Probably when Justin Smith is healthy, probably the best front seven in the NFL. The quarterback is a playmaker. The only thing that stands in their way, probably at the NFC, is Seattle. Although I still like Green Bay. But I think right then Seattle is their nemesis. Third best team in the NFL. I'm gonna go with the Denver Broncos. Of course, there's a quarterback. Their schedule is pretty easy. They could win 13, 14 games. But, with the quarterback, with the weapons, with Peyton Manning coming back, and his receiver saying his arm strength is back, that's pretty much all you need to know. When they get Von Miller back after that sixth game, they'll be going downhill, rushing the passer, and it'll all be complete. One thing you worry about with Denver is the running game. But, with the quarterback and the receivers, they're going to throw that rock anyway. So they're going to put up points. It's going to be hard to run with him on offense. Fourth best team,
I got to go New England. You know, all this talk about who they lost and losing Aaron Hernandez, but the Patriots, besides Carolina and probably Cleveland there, I mean, their front seven is really, really underrated. The linebackers are playmakers. It has a top three O-line. You still have the quarterback. For all the passing that they do, you guys know that the Patriots ran the ball the second most in the red zone in the NFL and ran the most inside the 10-yard line. They love to run the ball when they get in there. They're very physical. They're very good when they do it. Ridley is a solid running back. Seems like they hit on two of these undrafted free agent rookies that they had in Sudfeld and Kenbrell Tompkins. Gronkowski will be back in a little bit. Brady's still there. Belichick's still there. You know, mark them down for at the worst, 12 wins. 12 wins. Fifth best team, it's a little bit of a toss-up. I think I have to go with the Ravens. Coming off a Super Bowl win, they lost some guys on defense, but they added versatility. They added speed. They have added experience. Another team with a fine rushing game and a couple of backs, an experienced quarterback. And one of the best O-lines in the league, along with one of the best coaches. So that's my top five right there.
Okay. Mike?
One of the teams I say, because, of course, I keep saying, I'm not kind of saying no order right now, but, they, of course, they're my top team in the AFC is the Denver Broncos. Even though their defense – not having Von Miller for those six games, that's kind of a big blow. And, of course, losing Dumerville in the all season, he had to, because the salary cap, you know, his agent really messed up. And then Champ Bailey being out, you know, we all know about their secondary last year in that playoff game against the Ravens. But, you know, Peyton Manning, you know, some say, or most will say, or some will say, still is the best quarterback in the NFL. So you got him, and you add Wes Welker to the mix, and that passing offense, oh, man. So the Broncos, definitely, of course, they're going all the way to New York this year, you know, to the Super Bowl. After that, in the AFC, because like I said, just breaking it down, I still, you know, maybe the Houston Texans, there's another team I might could still say the team that could be the team at the end that could be facing them, because it's now or never for your Houston Texans, I think, this year. If Houston somehow doesn't get to the title game this year, then there might be some changes with that team. I'm not sold on the New England Patriots. Like, he said well about it. They might win that division. Their division, to me, probably in the AFC, is probably, right now you could probably say the weakest division. But I'm just not sold on them losing, you know, Hernandez, some of the guys on offense, with the receiver Lloyd, you know. Who's that passing offense? We know it's a passing league. We've been saying that, so I'm not sold on that. The defense, okay, like I said, they're going to have to play like, to me, real stout. You know, I'm not going to compare them to it. I like the 2000 Ravens type of defense. But to me, if they're going to do something special all the way, because you saw how I went to Tariq Khalid. I mean, what's his name, the cornerback, Tariq Khalid. When he was out, when he got hurt in that game against the Ravens in the AFC Championship game, it seemed like it wasn't the same defense out there. So that still has a nasty taste in my mouth, because I did have New England going to the Super Bowl last year, and they let me down. So I still remember that game, what Flacco did, and it changed when he was out of that game. So I'm holding my reservations on the New England Patriots. Another team I say in a foray, they went through some kind of a changes. I'm not saying a particular order of team that could be. I'm just naming a team that could be in the AFC Championship. I'm going to say, of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, Mike Tomlin, you know, he's a heck of a coach. Steelers got a quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger. He's a winner. you know, finally hope they give him some protection because he's been taking a lot of beatings. I mean, they still got some young receivers. I'm surprised Mendenhall's not here no more, but we all know Pittsburgh is always good at replacing players and finding players. So
who are you talking about?
The defense, you know, Mike Tomlin, and, of course, they still got Dick LeBeau there. It's going to be interesting to see with some of the young guys they got there. But Pittsburgh, I think, probably most likely is going to win that division in the AFC North. Then I say going to the NFC, I got that go to the NFC, it's just name a team. Like I said, no order of top, I'm just saying team since we mentioned. The fifth team, I probably was, you know, names, you know, I'd rather get to the next person. I would say right now the Seattle Seahawks. I give them a little hype over the 49ers right now because I like the additions they made in the offseason of free agency, adding and stacking to their young defense and adding more in the draft. I think they have, you know, more on that defense and definitely could attack and take it to the 49ers. And adding Percy Harvin helps, but not having him the first few, you know, first maybe six, seven games, not too bad because Russell Wilson, he's a heck of a quarterback, and, you know, Seattle just, they have a physical, you know, team. And that defense, you know, led by their coach Pete Carroll, they're going to be right there, man. They hungry. Like I said, this is a team that definitely could have been in the AFC Championship with that quarterback, Russell Wilson, because he did his thing. And my favorite caller, Antonio Wiley, said, man, this team, is they right there. They mad. And I think they're going to definitely be mad with a chip on their shoulder every game.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. Y'all doing every division or every the league, right?
It's five teams
out of the top five teams.
All right. So then, my number one team. Well, I don't really have it in any order. I'm gonna go. I can't really do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 because they're all kind of clumped in there.
Yeah, no.
I'm gonna go Broncos is in there. I got Broncos with Peyton Manning. You know, Von Miller. I know he's gonna be out, but you know, I think he'll. You know, they'll pick up the slack. I got 49ers in there. I got Seahawks in there. Well, you know, 49ers because of the defense and the running game, Colin Kaepernick, explosive capability. Seahawks, like Tech said, they're loaded in the secondary. Very tough physical defense. Marshawn Lynch, Russell Wilson, accurate guy. I think that Percy Harvin being out for pretty much the whole year will prevent them from getting to the Super Bowl, but, you know, they'll still be in the playoffs. You know, I kind of agree with what Skip Bayless said. They're not in my top five, but I think Arizona's going to shock some people also, but they're not in the top five, though. Broncos, 49ers, and Seahawks, right? I think Arizona could beat Seattle in a game this year. You know, they could split with Seattle. That's what I'm saying. Or San Francisco, if not both.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised. And, you know what I mean?
Wow.
So, yeah, I think they're going to be pretty good this year. Arizona, you know,
yeah.
But anyway, that's another conversation. Falcons, you know, Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, man, it's tough teams. Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Steven Jackson coming over, Asante Samuel, you know, I mean, they're pretty well rounded, and I'm gonna see them play when they come here to Tampa, and then. I have to put the Patriots in there over the Packers. So, I mean, you can't really count on Tom Brady. So, you know, they're going to be in it when the season's over. So, I put the Patriots up there. Those are my top five teams right there.
Let me ask you a question about your team, the Giants. What kind of season do you think we're going to see out of Dave Wilson this year?
I mean, I think he'll be a pretty good player. I mean, he'll have over 1,000 yards. I think he'll be a very good player.
You think he's going to
be
going to be
Adrian Peterson?
1,300, 1,400 yard season? Or
I don't know about that. Maybe 1,100, 1,200. I don't know. I don't see no 1,300, 1,400 yard season. But hey, he may surprise me. I mean,
I thought they got a feel in the draft. I thought, you know, like I said, I thought he was a guy. You know, I thought he was a guy who was going to do a lot for them. So I'm going to be keeping an eye on him.
Yeah, I think, I mean, if you got him for, like, a fantasy football team or something like that, I think you wouldn't be disappointed.
I was going I was going to add to say what you said about Harvard. I heard today that they said Harvard right now has been in training right now. They said he should probably be ready in week 7. I heard it today on NFL Network.
You said you heard what? I couldn't hear you.
Harvard, they were talking about Percy Harvin. He was out there in training right now, you know, getting, you know, saying out there, I think, doing a little work. They say he should be ready by week 7.
Wow. That's something. It also
he's
looks
not
going
like to be
out
for the year, Fozell, so you might, because week 7, week 8, week 9, you might rethink your decision about the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, Seattle Seahawks.
Hey, but do you think he's going to be Percy Harvin, though? Do you think he's going to be Percy Harvin, though?
Good thing about it, he's still young, though.
All right.
Yeah, like I said,
this team last year, really, Weston Wilson did his thing. It just, in that game against the Falcons, it just was one of those things where the Falcons hit a field goal, and that was that. So this team was probably within maybe seconds away of going to the NFC Championship without, you know, having a Percy Harvin. Just think about that, too, though.
Yeah, I think they're gonna be just fine. And me personally, I wouldn't even rush Percy Harvin to come back. To tell you the truth, I let that dude get completely healthy. You know, like I say, you have a good young nucleus of players. You know, that, like I said, this would be the foundation of the franchise of your team. You know, let dude get healthy. You know, no rush to come back. Like I said, you know, like you said, I think they'll be fine without him. You know, with him, he's gonna be a bonus. But you know, like I said, I think you know. Let the dude get healthy, and you know, even if it takes a whole year, I wouldn't be any skin off their nose. I don't think this will be their year to go to Super Bowl anyway. So I'd rather have them come back, you know, 100% next year than be 80% this year.
It might be the team that stopped your San Francisco 49ers getting to the Super Bowl this year, Mike.
I don't think so.
Hey, but the Bears ain't going though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, let's.
I know we play the Cowboys this year too, all sex.
But the Bears ain't gonna be going though.
Okay.
The Cowboys ain't going either, so that's fine. But you know, neither one going, so it ain't nothing.
Okay. Bears not going to the Super Bowl.
Nope.
Okay. Let's move on. Let's do our preseason. We're gonna do our preseason awards right now for the NFL. Who do you guys have for offensive and defensive rookie of the year?
Oh, man, I don't know. Rookie of the year? Oh, I thought you meant like preseason player of the year. Rookie of the year?
We're gonna do that too. We're gonna do that too. But right now, we're just gonna do the rookie of the year. Offensive, defensive.
I'll let someone else go first. I can't. I gotta think about this for a second.
Geno Smith. He's going to be rookie of the year. Nah, just playing. All
right, go ahead, Mike.
I hope he is, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Man. I guess I was really impressed, like I said, with Cal Long. You know, he's doing well, one of the guys,
what?
I say.
Boy, come on, man. That's homeless stuff.
You think Cal Long is going to be offensive rookie of the year? I'm just naming names,
but he's playing well. I mean, I'm talking about for a lineman. He's playing well.
Oh, man.
I know, right? That dude.
I'm just saying, but he's one of the guys.
Stop.
I'm just calling the name.
Stop that, man. No, man. For real. We ain't doing it, man.
Man, I'm just saying.
That was
man.
Hilarious right there.
I'll put that name out there, though. Who you got there, Jamal?
All right, look.
Who you got?
No offensive lineman.
I thought they had to come off like me right now, but who you got?
Man, I ain't got no offensive lineman.
If I ain't going to do the offensive line, like I said, I don't know right now. That's a question, man.
That's a question you have
in maybe week 6, week 7.
Let me go. I got mine right here. All right.
Don't say your boy name.
Offensive rookie of the year. You know what? I'm going to go on a gamble here, and I know y'all might laugh at me. I'm going to go Geno Smith. All right. I'm going to go Geno Smith.
Geno Smith shouldn't even be starting, man.
And then
starting now.
I think he should be starting, personally, but that's another conversation.
Nah, he's out. He looks bad, man.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that was a learning lesson for him. But I think he made some pretty good throws. I think he made some pretty good throws in that game. And I'm glad he threw those picks. Anyway, let me just move on. Offensive rookie of the year, I'll go on a gamble and go Geno Smith. Defensive rookie of the year, I'm going to go Jarvis Jones. Even though I didn't think he was going to be a good pro, but I was shocked. I didn't think he was going to be a good pro coming out up in here, but from my sources here, you know, they say he's looking pretty good.
You think he's going to stay healthy?
What'd you say?
You think he's going to stay healthy? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I couldn't hear you. Yeah, I'm here.
You going to stay healthy?
Yeah, I think he'll stay healthy.
Mike,
I know he has a lung thing, but I think he'll be healthy.
I said his email is off the record. They made it, you know, we didn't even change about the topic. I was thought about this. I'm going to go on the limb for this, though.
This is my turn.
I'll say comeback player of the year will be Alex Smith.
My turn.
Sure.
Okay. Offensive rookie of the year, I'm going to go with Eddie Lacy. I think the opportunity is there. I don't know what rookie has a sweeter situation than Eddie Lacy right now. I think he's the man in Green Bay. He's an able pass protector right now, which is a plus, especially with the young guys. I think he has a shot to get 1,000 yards and about 10 touchdowns. I'm going to go with Lacy as offensive rookie. Just the talent divided by the situation is – I think it's a money combination provided he stays healthy. As far as defensive rookie of the year, I'm going to go Alec Ogletree. It's been a big time playmaker for the Rams this preseason. He's getting in on sub packages, nickel packages. He's flying everywhere. He's everywhere around the ball. He has a nose for it. He's making instinctive plays. He's going to be a tackle machine. He covers from sideline to sideline like no other. I think Alec Ogletree is the defensive rookie of the year.
Okay, very interesting. I'm going to James. Is James going with this? James, who are your pick?
No, he's not there.
Oh, okay, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to agree with Tex on Alec Ogletree. I've liked what he's brought to the table so far for defense. For offense, I'm gonna go with Tyler Eifert, tight end for Cincinnati. I've seen him in the preseason. Looks like he could easily make the Super Bowl. So I think he's gonna be that offense is gonna be tough for Giovanni Bernard too. They're going to be explosive. So I take that equal and open here. Now, let's move on. Let's go to our regular offensive and defensive players of the year. Prediction. Clavel?
Man, this is going to be tough. Offensive player of the year, I'm going to go... And I'm just guessing here. I never really had time to think about this. Offensive player of the year, I'm going to go Matt Ryan. Defensive player of the year, I'm going to go on a limb here, Darrell Revis.
You think Revis is going to have a big comeback here?
Yes, I think he'll come back. And I hear these sources coming out telling me, you know, he's looking really good. And he's kind of, when he's getting interviewed, you can sense there's some sort of confidence about him that, hey, you know what, it's about to be on type of thing. And I think he's going to make his, you know, splash debut but a pretty good game against the Jets and Geno Smith.
Have you got to catch any preseason games down there yet?
Yeah, I saw some of them. The only thing about, I think the defense will lead the Bucs to the playoffs. I still think there's an issue with Josh Freeman and the coach. So I think the Bucs will skate in the playoffs with a 9-7 record, being led by the defense.
And you saying three teams at NFC South are getting in the playoffs, huh?
I think New Orleans is out. I didn't think that until a few weeks ago, but I think New Orleans is out.
Mike, who's your offensive and defensive player of the year?
Yeah, I already know who the offensive player of the year is. It is Jay Cutler. I think he's going to have a good year, but he's not my offensive player of the year. I think it's going to be Peyton Manning. You know, this is going to be his year and get to the Super Bowl. Like I said, I knew this a week after, so he's going to have a big year. Adding with Wes Welker. Will he put up the same numbers like last year, or would it be more? Let's wait and see, or less, but he's going to have a big year. Defensive player of the year, I don't think it was somebody from Seattle or but San Francisco's been on the radar, on the tear. He's had several, 3-4 years. I'm going to go with your boy, Patrick Willis, man. And it won't be surprising if Aldon Smith is a guy, too, that could be considered as defensive player of the year.
Okay. Next.
Oh, offensive player of the year. I'm going to, man, y'all might think I'm crazy. Offensive player of the year. I'm gonna say Michael Vick. I'm gonna go Michael Vick because this is based on him staying healthy. I love this offense for Vic. This is tailor-made for him and his set of skills, again, provided that the guy is healthy and he's out there and able to play football and protecting himself. I love what he can do for them. I think his numbers will be insane. It's just a match made in heaven. DeSean Jackson, Mike Vick with Chip Kelly. So he's my offensive player of the year. Defensive player of the year, Luke Kuechly. The leader, the underrated, huh?
Oh, nothing, go ahead.
No, I said he's the leader of that underrated Carolina front seven. The guy put up almost 170 tackles last year. And he didn't move to the middle linebacker spot until 3-4 games in. This is a legitimate 200 tackle player, 200 tackle type player. He's always around the ball. He's underrated as a pass rusher. He can cover man to man. He tackles. You know, he doesn't miss tackles. He drops into coverage. Just a very instinctive Mike linebacker. You're going to hear about Willis. You're going to hear about Bowman. You'll hear some about a couple of other guys. But, man, Kuechly is a playmaker. And I think he wins Defensive Player of the Year.
Okay.
Hey, I don't think you're crazy about saying Michael Vick. I'm cheering for all Michael Vick succeeds, though, this year, because we all know this could be his last chance being a starter. You know how it is.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to choose on defense. I'm going to go with Aldon Smith for the Niners. Yeah, 19.5 sacks. He kind of got overshadowed by J.J. Watt last year. Man had 19.5 sacks. He was injured. So I'm going to pick him for defense. On offense, I'm going to switch it up. I'm going to go with Dez Bryant. I don't know why, even though I know they'll probably give it to Romo if Bryant has a big season. But I can see, for some reason, I think Ryan's going to have like 18 touchdowns this year receiving. I think he's going to blow up. So I'm going to go with Dez Bryant. Everything I've been hearing about him has been positive, and I think he has unlimited potential, so I want to see what he can do. Looks like it's going to be the end of our show. We got about 30 seconds left. We'd like to thank everybody for listening. Thank James for calling in. We're going to have another interesting show for you guys again next week. Looking forward to the new football season and NFL. We'll see you guys next week. All right. On behalf of CMT Firestorm, we're out. Peace.
All right, you're out. Bye-bye, everybody.